Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode number 91.
And in honor of our 91st episode, we have Brendan.
Wow, our 91. I get number 91. That's really a privilege.
It's how old you are.
Wow. Okay, so it starts. It starts indeed. Right out the gate.
It does.
All right.
It's the halfway point in the year, so.
You make your yearly, bi-yearly.
This is like his third show.
Yeah, I've done a few this year.
Nathaniel hasn't even been on that many this year.
No, he hasn't.
Huh. Yeah, this is my third.
Wow.
Yeah.
91.
And I've got a couple more lined up, so.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I'm Gabe.
I'm Josiah.
I'm Brendan.
And we've got a lot to talk about today, because we are dedicating this show to a little band called DC Talk.
Never heard of them.
Oh, man, you're going to have to lead this one.
This is the wrong podcast.
Yes.
This is kind of by popular demand. We rarely have these roundtable discussions. We should probably do it a little bit more often, to be honest. But
true.
This is more of a rectangular table.
Yeah, this is a rectangular table, but we're still going to try to do this. There's a lot going on with DC Talk, as a lot of people know. There was the Jesus Freak Cruise
Deuce.
And there's also all kinds of rumors and stuff floating around. So, you know, with the... We kind of take our summer break after around the 4th of July. I thought it'd be a good way to put a little exclamation point before we do that.
It's fitting with the name of the podcast and all.
I mean, why not? Yeah. Before we do that, we need to talk about our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. For as low as $1 a month, you can join our team, help fund our show. That helps pay our bills. And people like Lorena and Maria and Leslie, Jody, Michael, they all help us out. You can help us out, too, for as low as $1 a month. For $5 a month, you get our bonus episodes. And this week, since we're talking about DC Talk, we are going to be talking about the throwback albums of the week.
Albums?
There's albums,
we
too?
We're going to combine Heaven Bound and New Thing. Just because. It is like the 30-year...
It's 30th anniversary of DC Talk, and next year will be the 30th anniversary of New Thing, so we're going to go, instead of doing them year by year, just to put them together.
There you go.
Brendan's not cheap. We've got to get two for one.
We'll also be giving our picks for album / EP / whatever of the week, and we'll be sure to follow the rules this time, and we'll have a rant of the week, too, and all that. But you can do that at patreon.com. Get it exclusively there, patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. You guys help keep the lights on, so thank you.
I'll leave the light on for you.
Right now it's a candle, just letting you know.
Yes. There is a candle. It is unlit. Unlit well, candle.
I want to be in the light.
Okay, let's just go.
Okay.
So anyway, Jesus Freak Cruise 2, we invited Brendan because he was there.
He was our correspondent.
I've been on both.
On both. This is one of maybe, I don't know, we could say 500 people in the entire world that has attended both the Jesus Freak Cruise and the Freak Show. Welcome to the Freak Show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you have all the experience.
Yeah.
So, tell us. I mean, there's a few things that I want to kind of...
Okay, so I'm just going to real quick do like my overall feeling.
Okay.
And then we go from there. So this cruise being number two, I got to be honest with you. The first cruise, you know, at the end of it, everyone's like, well, did they make an announcement? Is this going to be, you know, something else? And it didn't feel right. Like, it just didn't feel like that was the energy. I was kind of surprised when they announced cruise number two. And then... this cruise, the energy at the end was like, this is not the end for at all. The energy was so different. It was kind of interesting, and I hate to call them out like this, but the first cruise I saw almost all the shows they did. I think I missed one of the three, so I can say they were verbatim. They were tight. There was no mistakes on that first cruise. This cruise, however, Toby forgot entire verses to songs. Like there was a rap part on what was the first song they did? Jesus Is Still All Right. He missed the second verse completely. And Kevin saved it. Like Kevin comes back in like on the cues to when he's supposed to. And
you're going to say Kevin rapped.
Oh no, that would be hilarious. I actually like to see that. But even though there was mistakes, you could tell they were having so much fun.
It was
stage.
Like a looser kind of feel.
Yeah, and the mistakes didn't matter. And I doubt most people even
they were singing up on along.
Them.
So
yeah. But they just felt like they were having fun. And I saw all three shows this time. And, you know, sorry, Premiere Productions, but I got into all three shows. And, but they, I mean, every show was different, where beforehand the shows were the exact same. They just seemed to be in their element this time around, and their interaction on stage, everything. You could tell at the end, and Toby was extremely reflective. I think maybe you've seen the video of him talking about how he's been thinking about the past a lot. And so I walked out of there going, okay, they're definitely not done. But the cruise was awesome. The shows were awesome. Toby, actually, I was in the last show, and Toby stage dove not once, not twice, not three times, four times Toby stage dove.
I was going to ask about that because that was kind of his thing.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that as a little nutcase kid that I connected with, where everyone else, I mean, you can't have DC Talk without all three parts.
Right.
But I could look at Toby Mac as a little energetic kid jumping off the stage, and I'm like, okay, there's something different about this band that I connect with.
Right.
And Gabe would connect with Kevin Max, and somebody else might connect with Michael Tate. But so they're diving off the stage on the cruise 20 years later. I mean,
yeah, and that's the thing. Like, Toby, so the first three times he did it right off the stage, and he just wasn't getting the lift he wanted. So he walks over, grabs a stool, stands the stool up, climbs up on the stool, and then dives into the crowd. So he got an extra, like, 3.5 feet and then jumped off of that.
Did he jump onto Joel?
No, it was actually, Joel was in the balcony on that show. I was right there. I actually have, I have video on my Facebook page. I'm actually right underneath of it. I didn't try to catch him. I decided to record it instead, but all of Sugar Bear's sons were right around me.
Oh, that was a well-educated dive.
Uh-huh. And, yeah. Oh yeah. So I just got into the middle of them and just shot up.
Toby ain't no fool.
Yeah.
So you said it was like more relaxed. Why do you think that is? Because it seems like, I don't know. I don't know if they, I mean, there was you know, the first time it was kind of a meshing thing because they hadn't been on stage mm-hmm. for a while. So now it's more of a continuity thing and, you know, just getting comfortable with the moving parts again is probably part of it. But there's probably more to that too.
So I think the biggest factor, and I'm not going to speak for him, but I think Toby was way more relaxed, and I think when Toby's relaxed, everybody else is relaxed.
He sets the mood.
He does. I mean, he's the leader in a lot of ways of what happens there, and his attitude is going to determine how the rest of the things go. And he, on the first cruise, you didn't even see the guys.
Yeah.
At all. There was a meet and greet that was not even promoted. You didn't see them. This cruise, I turned around and ran into Kevin. I can't even tell you how many times.
He's probably following you.
Well, at one, yeah, man, it happens. But Tate was everywhere. And I mean, Toby, I mean, I had multiple conversations with him, and it wasn't like I felt weird approaching him like, oh, hey, Mr. Mac, I know you're, you know, Mac, I never call him that, but, you know, but it never felt like it was like approaching the guy who doesn't want to be talked to. There was none of that. So his whole attitude on the cruise was way more relaxed. And I think it's because they already had the first one out of the way.
The nerves were gone.
Yeah. He knew what to expect. And so just the overall vibe was totally different this time.
I think so. Like the first time there was that big hyped announcement, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of fell flat and all that. And I think that they were so afraid to disappoint that they just walked on eggshells mm-hmm. a little bit that first time. And then once they got that under the belt, it just seemed like this time they were like, okay, let's just hang out. Let's have fun.
And I think also the first time there was a little bit of uncertainty of are people going to come for this? And so they did, and the ship sold out. Then this time you've got the nerves of are they going to come back? Are people willing to do this twice? They did. The ship was sold out. So that's two times in a row. A cruise, which I'm letting you know, is not cheap.
Yeah.
Especially when you are doing a cruise that has a special theme to it. It's way more expensive.
I mean, everybody's looked up a cruise at some point.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It sold out twice. And I think that speaks volumes to what people want from them. And I think Toby realizes that.
If they can sell out a ship, they can sell out a concert selling tickets for $20, $30.
We'll get to that.
I'm just saying.
We'll get to that.
Hey, slow your roll. Slow your roll.
So I'm excited.
I think another factor, honestly, is, and I've talked to Toby about this, and it's really hard to comprehend for some people like us, but even people that's had the success of Toby has that in the back of their head. Are people even going to care about this? And
I'm amazed how many people don't know that Toby's from DC Talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
it's a legit thing. I did not realize that was a thing, but there are people that I see it all the time that they became a Toby Mac fan.
Yeah.
And they find out what's this band DC Talk. I'm like, are you
kidding
me?
They say, hey, isn't that the lead singer from the Newsboys?
Yeah.
What is he doing over here? Oh, this is DC. Nobody knows who they, well, I mean, not nobody knows who they are, but there's a whole generation that aren't making that connection, and it's just crazy.
But people, I guess, you know, full disclosure, we're the kind of guys that shred liner notes and find out who did the mixing on track 3.
Yeah.
And who was that playing the flute in the background. So,
and did you see that line that Martin Smith wrote?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so, you know, we are those people, and so we pay attention to stuff, but I'm amazed how many people don't know that Mark Stewart's not still singing for Audio Adrenaline, and that Audio Adrenaline currently really doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Like, so
there's people that still think that Kevin is the lead singer of Audio Adrenaline.
Yeah.
Not everybody had their CD case ordered by record label.
And nowadays, that doesn't even exist. So, I mean, for a lot of artists now. So, I mean, that's harder to get into. So, like I was saying, Toby, Mike, Kevin, I don't think they knew what to expect that first time around. And I think that they were just nervous about, even with a sold-out ship, like, are they just going to, you know, stand there with their arms crossed and, you know, are they going to even know the words? You know, I don't think they knew what to expect.
Catch me if I stage dive.
But you could see them. You could see them over time. You know, and I wasn't there, but I saw a lot of videos that they just continued to get more comfortable with the setting, with everybody there, with the band. The band, by the way.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So real quick, so in case anybody does remember, the band was made up of a few original members from the Jesus Freak and Welcome to the Freak Show and the Supernatural Tour. And that those original members are Sugar Bear, Rick May on drums, DJ Madge turning the tables, and you had Mark Townsend on guitar. And then there's a few additions of from Toby's band, and they are his
Dave,
band leader,
and Dave and
Tim,
yeah,
his guitarist, both of which actually did an amazing job.
Yeah. So, but do you agree with me that maybe that first time that they didn't know what to expect?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think they. I mean, they practiced what twice?
Yeah.
Before the first cruise,
like we remember the words. Great. Let's go.
But I felt like they even with that, I think. Like with DC Talk, the guys themselves, I felt like they practiced more for that.
Yeah.
They weren't too worried about this one as much.
No, I think
which
they...
Which might be why he forgot the words.
Yeah, probably. But they were... I definitely think there was a huge of what to expect, and are people going to respond the same way they do as a Toby Mac show or a Newsboys show? Are they going to sing along? And not only did they sing along, they were headbanging. And so then you bring this one around, and I'm going to tell you right now, the crowd was way more energetic the first time, where the first time people were grabbing phones and they wanted to record it. There was definitely a lot of that still, but I was involved in a mosh pit during Jesus Freak. I mean, it was full on, you know, it happened, and that did not happen at all. There was people headbanging on the first one, but this time people were really just, it was felt like it was 1997.
I think that goes to how you spoke about the feel of it, where the first time you think, oh, I better record this because this might be the last time they're all on the stage together ever again. And the second time, you said the feel was just, this is not it.
Yeah.
So let's enjoy it while they're here. And then when they do it again, we're going to be back.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that's what everybody walked away with. The most there was a few people who I saw post in some of the groups that we're all in said things like, oh, did anybody else get the feeling that this was the last one? And I'm like, how did you get that feeling? I did not come with that conclusion at all. Opposite conclusion completely, which, you know, has since proven out to be the correct conclusion.
Oh.
So getting into that, since then, Michael Tate has spilled some beans about there being...
Does he not know what the internet is?
I don't know that
he's barely
does.
On it. Oh, so my probably gosh. Not.
So he said that there's going to be shows in 2020 and 2021 and so on. Toby said, well, we're talking about it. It's not really there yet, but obviously there's talks. Obviously, they are closer now than they have been before. Why do you think 2020 would be? Why do you think that they're getting closer? Like,
okay, so well, first of all, 2020 just makes sense as a year. If they're going to do a tour, it makes perfect sense.
I mean, that's 25 years for Jesus Freak.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my biggest reason right there. It's 25 years since Jesus Freak. So Toby's not stupid. If he's going to plan something and calculate it, it's going to be to coincide with something.
Yeah. A 24 or 26 year anniversary doesn't sell well on a t-shirt.
Exactly. So next year being the 25th just makes sense. Now, I speculate. Now, I'm going to be straight up. I was privy to some conversations that I won't on a public forum like this discuss. But so anything I'm saying is my opinion, and I just want to make that clear. So I think that what people are going to expect to have happen is not what's going to happen. I think a lot of people are going to think this is going to be like the intermission tour, where there was the three individuals and then they came back together as DC Talk.
Right.
I do not think that would be the case. I think this would just be DC Talk. There will be no opener. And I think that it'll be a smaller, intimate setting than what people are. And that was actually alluded to in one of the, either Kevin or...
You know, I've talked with, I think, all three guys about, realistically, you know, these guys are in their 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And to ask them to do two sets in one night on their voice, it's on a tour is just not, it's not realistic.
Oh, I ran there's a Kevin Max group that we're all in, and I ran the get together for that on the boat, and I had to get people through the line quicker because Kevin had just come off of doing multiple sets, and he was getting worried about talking to everybody because he just done that, and then he had to do DC Talk the next night.
Yeah,
and so people don't understand that is, as a singer myself, and I mean I've done 3 hour sets straight through. It's murder.
Yeah.
So to expect somebody at that range, at that age, to keep doing it like that, no, this will be.
It's easier when you're in your 20s.
These will be one night shows.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of nights in a row, but it'll only be one show at a time. I could see them doing two nights in each city if the ticket sales are there. But I'm thinking like 1,500 to 2,000 seat venues.
Yeah.
Theaters.
I don't want these places that have a bunch. See, like, we know there's venues out there that don't, you just show up and you're there. You don't sit down. You don't do that. Because that's, in my mind, that's how I remember DC Talk. I don't remember ever sitting down during a show. And
I would hope that they do them in theaters where, like, the first few rows are removable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I will be moshing, and I will be at multiple shows moshing.
I will be there with you.
So
what do you think that dynamic will be? Because there will be, so there will be a lot of people like us that go, and obviously
it'll be just like the cruise. If you're talking about population of people there, so the cruise had people in their 60s, 70s who were smart and sat a few rows back, and then the majority of the people at the front of the stage were in their 30s and 40s. That's the reality. And then you had a bunch of teenagers that were in the mix too. You know, a lot of these kids who are there, their parents have raised them on this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my daughter is in this room currently, and she's a DC Talk fan. And she's sitting there rapping along to Jesus Freak, and she knows all the words to different songs and all that. And so, and that's not just true of them. I think that that's something people need to be. There's a nostalgia for 90s music amongst current teenagers. They're not listening to just the modern stuff on the radio. They're listening to Nirvana and, you know, all this different kind of stuff.
Well, that's like us with the 80s music and yep. Petra and Stryper and all that stuff yep. that Gabe and I were raised on and segued right into what yeah. we listened to.
Just go look on iTunes and look at the rock charts. It's Audioslave. It's Nirvana. It's... Yep.
And so this makes perfect sense for DC Talk to come back at this point in time when that music is
yeah.
big again. They fit right into that mold, and absolutely they should do this.
Not to mention what they sing about is kind of
still relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
25 years later, here we are.
So I think the crowds will be very mixed. I think it'll be an age range that goes all the way from 10 years old up to 70 years old.
There's going
to
be a lot of people, like you said, that know Toby Mac, and you know, like, there's going to be a lot of parents that grew up on DC Talk that have kids that listen to Toby Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that those kids are in for a rude awakening.
I hope they get it.
Yeah.
I hope they get it.
I hope so.
And then I hope that DC Talk records a couple of, you know, everyone's like, oh, album. I don't know if that's the best route, but I definitely think like a 5-song EP or something of that nature.
They could even steal some of the songs off of the stuff that they've already put out. Yeah. I know they put out a couple songs with Toby on his stuff.
There could be some yeah. redos there. There's some songs that the Newsboys have done that I felt like they featured Kevin.
Yeah.
I Am Second, that song, I always felt like was supposed to have a Toby rap. There's one part in it that has a yes. breakdown.
Yes.
And it sounds like Toby was supposed to be rapping there.
He belongs in that spot. I know yeah. exactly what you're talking
so,
about.
So the thing that I was thinking of, I know today, like releasing an album is even like a, people don't do it anymore. They just release singles.
Yeah.
And that might be the perfect.
Yep, absolutely.
That might be the perfect thing to lean into for yeah, them. Do one a year.
Yeah, if you're,
and I know that's asking
this,
a lot. But.
You've got this tour going on, and you know if the rumors are right that it's, you know, and what Michael alluded to was 20 and then 21 and 22, put out 2 songs per year as a little, you know, maxi single or you know or whatever, however you want to do that.
Like one new one and then one reimagined
yeah,
old one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or dude. A live cut of something.
And then those songs get worked into the set. And so people have something new to see each year. I definitely think there's value in that. And they, you know, I actually was driving today listening to, I listened to their entire catalog today.
Interesting.
And yeah, I went start to finish. And the lyrical content, the issues they covered, they need to be back doing it.
I agree.
They need to write some songs for some of the issues we're dealing with today. They did it better than anybody.
I started with DC Talk, and then I worked my way through New Thang, and I was listening to Walls right before I walked in, and I was thinking, this is still,
mm-hmm.
I mean, forget everything we're going to talk about evolution of music and everything on the bonus episode, but just the content, they're always pushing
yep.
the envelope. And when you say maybe put out 2 new songs a year, what is that going to be about? Not just musically, what topic are they going to pick? And I want to hear that. I'm on the yeah. edge of my seat wondering what they have to say, because their voice,
they could definitely write a song about immigration
is
issues.
Right always on the edge of what.
Mm-hmm.
They push envelope almost a little too far to make Christians a little uncomfortable. But that's, I mean.
Yeah, What Have We Become? Best song?
Oh
my
yeah.
goodness. Like a sister shuns his brother. A
preacher.
Preacher shuns his yeah. brother because his wife's another color. Like they yeah. they were willing to talk about things in a way. And I mean, Toby carried that on into his solo career, talking about, I can't remember which song it is, but he's talking about the boy who's a basketball player, and that's something that white America can never ignore.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like, whoa, yeah. like dude is not scared to cover those issues. And so I definitely see that they could, we need their voice.
I hope so. Yeah. That's definitely something that I hope is brought back, but we'll see. I mean, that's part of the fun is going along for the journey. And
I can't see them touring and not getting the juices flowing. That's just the reality.
I mean, I know Kevin seems to release a new album just about every month, it seems. So he's always creating, and you know that's in their blood, that's mm-hmm. in their DNA, is just new stuff all the time.
They all want to be together. Listen, I mean, you got the Black and White album coming out from Kevin and Michael, which is a Christmas album, and it's going to be, I guarantee you, amazing. And who knows if Toby doesn't pop in on a song. I doubt it, but that would, you know, that Black and White album is something I'm looking forward to. So the people want their voices.
That is also a question that I had about the Cruise, because when a band does not get together in 20 some years, people start to speculate, well, maybe they did not get along when they were together. Maybe there was some arguing, maybe, I don't know, just some issues that, I mean, it's their right to keep secret, but when you're you said you ran into them on the Cruise 100 different times. Mm-hmm. What's the dynamic between the band?
They're brothers. It would be no different than the three of you guys getting together. That's the honest to God truth. They're so close. And they actually, I'll tell you, if you see any of the videos and you can find any of the long form videos that people posted, they actually talked about that. They talked about that in Just Between You and Me. Toby went into this whole thing about it and how they got into big fights, like blowout fights over dumb things. And one of the things that actually led to the song Just Between You and Me was a fight over clothing because Michael and Kevin went to a thrift store and bought these really sweet jackets, and they came back and they didn't buy one for Toby, and they were on their way to their very first Grammy Awards, and his feelings got hurt big time.
Well, yeah.
And so, you know, that might sound silly as clothing, but when you're in that kind of close quarters with people and you think you all know each other so well, and then to do that, I can see why he felt slighted in that, especially on the biggest night of their career to that point in time. And so they were so mad, and then they came back from that and they just were angry, and you know, they made an agreement as a group that they would never, ever on their tours or anything like that, they would never go to bed angry at each other. They would resolve issues every night. And that's where the song Just Between You and Me came from. And that box that we never know what's in that video, what's going on, it's those issues. It's those things that, you know, that are between them, and they have to resolve those.
One of the things that makes them so great is they're three incredibly different personalities, mm-hmm. and you can tell that on stage. And then that behind the curtain, that can also cause problems.
Yep. So absolutely, they're as different as they are on stage is how different they are in their personal lives, and
music, you know, brings them together.
Having been able to talk to Kevin the way that we do, I can guarantee you there's probably some political, socioeconomic differences between them and their viewpoints on some of the stuff that happens in the world.
Guarantee it.
Oh yeah, for sure. And probably some theological differences, all kinds of things. But that's what makes them awesome. They are a perfect slice of America in a lot of ways, because you've got Kevin and his viewpoints. You've got Toby and his. And Toby's much less vocal about his viewpoints. You'll never really hear those
things. He's just more private person.
Yeah. And Michael's all like, can't we all just get along?
He's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. But then you have different races involved. You have different, totally different backgrounds. But yet here the three of them come together and make just incredible music.
Magic.
Yep.
So I guess where we can end this is, well, before we end this,
The end.
One of the things that I would really like to see someday is all three of them sitting down and just kind of going song by song and explaining like where this came from, where were they in their walk, you know, what led to this being written, especially with the songs that they all wrote together.
Oh, okay, cool. So this is an invite. Toby, Kevin, Michael, when you guys are out on the road, we would like to sit down with you and do exactly that. Let's make it happen.
If we only had a platform to do that.
Yeah, I know. That has a lot of listeners, and it would be, you know, it'd be good.
Yeah, and then what's his name? Mike Brown? Mike
the Cavaliers coach?
No. The KU fan that we always give grief.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got a few Emmys.
He's got a few cameras and stuff that maybe you could set up. And
just saying, we have the network involved. That's all.
Yeah, we know people, mostly each other.
he's
no one else can deal with us.
If he's not doing stuff for ESPN and all that, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, we'll try.
All right, guys, we are going to head off into the sunset. We still have the bonus episode. You can get that exclusively at patreon.com/decentchristiantalk.
It's going to be a good one.
But you don't want to miss it. Brennan's going to be on there.
It's going to be mediocre at best.
I promise you it won't.
All right, we will catch you next time. You guys have a good 4th of July.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.